Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can catch me on the Game Brain podcast if you like board games. We talk about board games. It's super fun. And joining me is my lovely work husband. God, I just adore me some Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, that's sweet. Hello, Ben.
Happy whatever day this is. I can't even keep my day straight anymore, but happy day to you. How are you doing?
Well, happy day to you too. I'm doing great. Here we are back with Orange County after missing a couple episodes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We have, it's been a little bit because we didn't, that's right. So yeah, we're back. We're here to talk Orange County.
Before we dive into it, big news, our tickets are finally on sale for the Crappies Awards. It's now January 21st. January 21st, the Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tickets are now on sale. Go to watchacrappens.com. There's a link there. And of course, you can vote.
You don't have to vote. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't change anything in the world. It's just fun. And we just think you'll have a fun time voting in it. It's all sorts of cool categories like, you know, best Bravo show, best Bravo celebrity, but also things like best scandal, best friend of, things like that. It's like the MTV Movie Awards, you know, like compared to the Oscars, except on a much less impressive level, which is sad because the MTV Movie Awards are already not impressive at all. But that's the space that we live in right now with it. So go check it out. Go to watchacrappens.com. There's a link there and go vote and have fun. Tell your friends. I think it's just a fun activity for anyone who watches Bravo.
Yeah, do it. Do it, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, today is Orange County, and it's really weird. We have had two episodes that we haven't recapped, and I gotta say, so weird to not recap the show. Like, I still talk right at the show, because I knew I wasn't going to talk to you, so I was just doing terrible impressions to the television instead. It wasn't as fulfilling, I have to say.
Did we not? I know we didn't recap last week, which was part two of the exciting journey to the Barron amusement park, like Woodlands amusement park. Did we not recap the one before that? I just don't remember.
The last attack? One we recapped was where Elizabeth started that thing with Bronwyn where she was crying, and then it continued on. I got, did it continue on?
We only missed 1 week of Orange County.
Oh,
but we missed 2 weeks of Salt Lake City.
No, we missed two
of Salt Lake City. Did we? This is,
I don't know, Ben. You know what? Honestly, I'm dead to the world right now.
This argument,
as far as my memory,
this is very Housewives. Is as compelling as anything we've seen on Orange County this season. Can we just talk about that amusement park? That was like one of the strangest, saddest amusement parks I've ever seen. It was like a nature amusement park or something like that, with like sort of half-assed fishing and archery. And it was like a weird summer camp.
Well, it's very like Lake Arrowhead, you know? It's very family. This is what families do who go to Lake Arrowhead. I mean, they can't like exactly go out clubbing or do whatever. It's not a glamorous vacation, okay? They're going to Arrowhead.
Yeah. And the other thing that we missed on the episode was Shannon Bedore testing positive for coronavirus and then moving back in with her kids and then just berating them.
There's dog shit outside, Sophie. There's dog. Has anyone done the laundry? No one has done the laundry. No one. There's dog shit everywhere. Why? Did you spritz perfume? There's perfume. Is there dog shit in the perfume? There's dog shit in the perfume. Is there perfume in the laundry? Everything is on top of everything else. David?
Go figure. You leave your kids during COVID and they're complete slobs.
Shocker, Shannon.
It's, Yeah, it's like a fun version of like a like an 80s movie. Like the 80s movie is like, oh, the teenagers are at home because the kids, the parents went out on vacation. But this one's like, the teenagers are at home because they all tested positive during a global pandemic and now they're partying.
Yeah, that's going to be the movies that come out of 2020 for sure.
Yeah.
New hip!
New hip!
Sorry, we have to start the new year off with some new hip!
New hip! New hip!
So we open this episode with Bronwyn in her backyard having a six-month sobriety party with all of her family. And she's like, well, kids, 6 months ago, I said I'm not going to drink anymore. And so I got this chip, and it's for 6 months. So yay!
But then she drops it. I'm like, oh, that pretty much sums up 2020. So then we go to Kelly's house. And you know what? For all the talk that we've, all the scuttlebutt that Kelly is an anti-masker, that she's totally disregarding social distancing, etc. Here we have a scene of Jolie opening up the fridge and saying, Mom, why is there a mask in the fridge? You know, we got Kelly all wrong. She has masks in her fridge. She has masks everywhere. How about
you know
that?
that's a gel mask for her eyes. You know it is.
It's a gel mask. It's a gel mask so I can have sex with Rick Leventhal. Oh.
It's almost as jelly as Rick Leventhal is when we have sex. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like those. Yeah. Remember when you were a kid? I don't know if you ever did this, but I will confess that, you know, like when you like the softcore porn or like the Playboy channel or whatever, it was like scrambled on cable, you know? So you just see squiggly, you see squiggly lines and like once every half an hour you might see a breast, but all you hear are like Rick Leventhal noises. Like Rick Leventhal is like scrambled softcore porn. All you hear is, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's all you hear. And then Camille Grammer going,
so upset. Waldorf salad.
So you're going to take off your bra right now, and then you're going to rub your breast in my face, and then you're going to give me lap dance.
Give you a lap dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So upsetting, but hot. Okay, wait. I've got to make a diversion here. I one time, my friend Nicole and I, Nicole listens. I know you're listening, Nicole. Hi, Nikki. We one time were watching a movie. It was like on Cinemax or whatever, and it starred Dana Plato, and it was like, it was one of those like Cinemax softcore porns, and it was so bad, but we were like fascinated by it because Dana Plato was in it, rest in peace. Yeah. And what was so funny about it was how they would like have these random details to make it seem like it's grounded in reality. So Dana Plato's whole character thing was that she incessantly talked about bringing a Waldorf salad over. She was like, oh, I made a Waldorf salad. Do you want me to bring that over? And then like next scene was like, I brought the Waldorf salad. And then the next scene was like, God, that Waldorf salad was amazing. And then the best was she was at this house with these two people. It was like with a couple. And they were eating the Waldorf salad at the coffee table. And she's like, okay, well, this has been wonderful. I'm going to go to sleep. And she's like in a sweater and she stands up and she has no pants on, no underwear, just like her butt vagina. And it's like, you just ate a Waldorf salad with these people, like with just like naked on the bottom, but like sweater on top.
Yeah, that's not how to Waldorf salad for
that's
sure. Not.
So that's my little diversion about Dana Plato and softcore porns.
And the guy she bones is like, what are you talking about? Waldorf salad?
I don't even get that, but I like it.
What you talking about, Willis?
Oh, what you talking about? Okay.
So Elizabeth is doing a selfie cam on the beach where she's exercising, I guess. And she's like, I finally signed my divorce papers. Last night I signed them, everybody. Here's to the next phase. Ooh, look at that passion by me. Here's to the next phase of my life. Yes!
Unbelievable. Hypocritical, yes.
Abdominal glutamuscle. Wow.
Musculatural.
So then we're back at Shannon's house. Like, selfie!
your organic headboards came in for your dorm room. Oh, when I went to college, you just bought a comforter, and now look, you have to buy.
Like, you don't have to buy this. You nutcase.
I've literally never heard of anyone buying headboards for their children, let alone organic headboards.
God, that's like Leah Black taking her son to college. Oh, I've got to take RJ to college. This is insane. I had to get bookcases and carpets and curtains. And it's like, what are you doing? It's supposed to look like a prison cell. Just throw them in there and say, see you at Christmas.
Yeah, you're going to buy all these nice sheets and they're never going to get cleaned for 3 months. So don't even bother.
She went in there and decorated the room, the roommate side of the room, like did it up all fancy.
Like, why? Oh. Like, Shannon bought organic headboards for both girls. And she's like, well, I don't want toxicity. So, as we all know, organic headboards fix that.
Oh, look at this vomit yellow pillow she wanted. I was up all night looking at options. Oh, they're hideous. Oh, and I got this cart. Look, you put things in this cart, and it has a handle. So you lift up the handle, and you move the cart. My tailor is making your bed skirt. Don't argue with me, Sophie!
Why is she giving her why does her dorm bed need a bed skirt? It probably won't even fit. You know that she called up. She called up, like, you know, student services.
Oh, hello. Hi, my name is Shannon Bedore, and my daughter will be matriculating at your university this fall. And I would like to know the width and the length of the beds, because it is very important that she has a bed skirt on her bed, because she needs to have nice things. And I say this as someone whose first husband didn't give me a nice thing ever, ever, ever in her life.
I need to ask you, does the dorm room that my daughter, Sophie Bedore, will be staying in, does this room have a chandelier that works off of Bluetooth? Yes or no? Yes or no? Aren't the walls contagious? Just tell me. Just tell me the truth.
Would anyone object if I sent a construction crew over to put drywall over the cinder block wall?
Do you have a nebulizer? Yes or no?
Do you have any services in case a piece of plastic might wind up in someone's butt? I'm actually asking on behalf of me, because I went back to Dr. Moon, and let's just say things went awry.
Do you have a nurse that is capable of dealing with psychological debris in the anal canal? Yes or no?
I'm so happy.
I think that has to be one of my favorite Housewives things ever. When Shannon thought she had something up her butt, and David had to come get it out of her butt, and it turns out it was just a piece of psychological debris.
It's like one of the most iconic things. It was like for the finale party, too. Like, she was late to the finale party. The same finale party where something happened. I don't know. But yeah, that was amazing.
So funny. Okay, so she's like, oh, we're healthy now. We are healthy. There are 6 strains of this. You have to be very careful. I got you a COVID box.
There's nebulizer, trebulizers, trubulizers. There's kettle chips for your father to eat at you passive aggressively while you're trying to make a point in case he ever comes to visit.
And she's like, hey, you know, it's funny. I haven't even changed my will yet. David still gets everything. So if I were to die, he gets all the money.
The kids are like, thanks, Mom.
Yeah. She goes, well, there's a good reason to kill Miss Shannon Storms Bedore.
Which is true. Yeah, you might not want to be saying this stuff out loud.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed literally in a murder plot.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, literally lying dead, killed by David for my trust fund.
Well, it's nice to see that David is interested in trust for once in his life.
Glad my parents could fund your trust, David.
So, Sophie's like, Mom, I want to pick my own clothes. You pick out crappy clothes. And she's like, well, who's going to pay for it? She's like, I have Dad's credit card, okay? I need to be independent. Dad's credit card.
Normally, I would say something passive aggressive and be upset that you have your dad's credit card, but thank God you have your dad's credit card.
Well, you know, my children were raised here in Newport Beach. It's a very privileged community, and it's important for my kids to learn how to take care of themselves, which is why I let them choose out one of the hues of the headboards that I purchased for them.
So she's telling her, you better not get into drama. And they're like,
does that mean drugs, Mom?
She's like, Mom. So then we go to Bronwyn and Sean's house in the bedroom. Yeah. And this is just so Bronwyn. Sean is sitting there by the fireplace on his phone, probably doing work emails or something. Yeah. And then Bronwyn comes in and plops down on the bed. And she's like, what are you working on? I'm going to get out of this house. This is just a wild social experiment. I have to get out.
Hey, what is it that one woman said? I was meant to have breakfast and dinner with you, but not lunch. Yeah, yeah. We've been together a lot.
Oh, and she tells us how miserable it is, and then we see her just basically being rude.
She's so mean to him. She goes, you know, I know very little about you after 25 years. You don't talk about your feelings, ever.
Hi, guess what? That's a sign that you're an asshole. If you don't know anything about your husband of 25 years, you're the asshole here, lady.
I hate to break it to you, but you're the one who was drunk. I mean, like, I mean, I respect your journey that you're on. And she says it in such a angry way. It's, I mean, she really is such a drama club teenager, right? Everything is just like, every declaration is just with so much like, ugh, this has to be said right now. I'm like, and he's like, he's so trying to make things nice. And he's like, well, but I started on a path, which is great, right? She's like, no.
No, she's really sucking. And I think that Elizabeth, later in the episode, and we'll get to it, but she lays it out very, very clearly. And I totally agree with what she
says. I don't remember
what
Elizabeth said, but I'm excited.
Well, we'll get to it. It's in the notes. But Bronwyn is totally taking everything and turning it around on the other person. she does it with every single thing. It makes me crazy. So she's mad because now that she's sober, she's not as dependent on him, and now she realizes that things that were acceptable to her before are just not acceptable now. And so she's like, "Have you talked to your therapist?" Yeah, it's just what comes after. I'm just reading through the notes. So she's like, "Have you talked to your therapist?" And he's like, "No, but I'm going to. I'm probably going to learn a lot about myself." She's like, "Well, yeah, I know nothing about you. I mean, nothing. And we've been together for so long, and." He's like, well, I mean, I started the path. And she's like, well, I mean, I feel like you get jealous of my girlfriends, and that's kind of hard on me. Because you just came out of the closet and are going out all the time while he's home taking care of your children and your house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I've actually been, I think, more into Bronwyn's journey than a lot of the audience. I think a lot of people have been turned off by now. But even I'm starting to really, you know, get a little bit to my wit's end, because I think that the journey that she's on and how honest she's been has been really actually fascinating and interesting. But now she's just sort of at that part where she is like going through changes, and it's just like, you know, I've said before, she's like in a teenager state, and she is in a teenager state, and unfortunately teenager states are really annoying. So I mean, it's just sort of like just seeing her, like, you know, Sean, she's just sort of like going after Sean, and you know, she's just saying, and she's like, he's like, you know, I'm just sitting here and I'm seeing you develop all these like really close bonds with your friends, and I'm just like a roommate, and it's like, you don't even want to be around me, you know? She's like, well, our home life is not romantic, okay? That's why we have the condo. And I'm sort of like, you know, there are a lot of people that don't have the condo that make their homes romantic.
Most people, I think 99.9% of people don't have the condo.
For the romance. I feel like there was like an excuse in there. Like, I am angry at you because there's no romance here and we got rid of our romantic place. I'm like, I feel like that's an excuse you put in. You're probably angry at him because you're starting to realize new things about yourself and your projecting and who knows what. There's all sorts of psychological garbage floating around there, but I'm like, don't say it's because of the condo. You don't have the condo.
I think she's doing a lot of fucked up shit by just going out all the time and you know, partying with her new friends, and she's turning it around on him to make him feel bad.
Well,
you know, our life isn't romantic, and you know, there's kids everywhere. That's why we had the condo, and you know, we know in the home there's nothing sexy. I mean, I said when we went to the montage, I said, let's do this once a week. And you made a lot of promises to me at the montage, and you haven't followed through since the montage.
I mean, here's the other thing. I don't know if the thought occurred to anyone else, but did anyone else think that, like, maybe Sean might actually be depressed? Like,
Well, he's basically telling her. He told her. He's like, hi.
Yeah. He's like on his phone all the time. He's like not emotionally available. He's quiet. His partner in crime for the past, 20 years is suddenly like doesn't need him anymore. Maybe his purpose in life is being shattered. He enabled her because there's all sorts of stuff that is happening, and it's like Sean's allowed to also be going through some shit too. And like, if you want us to like reserve the space to honor that you're going through some very, very serious like life changes and self-realizations, like you should also honor the fact that Sean is probably also confronting a lot of things too.
Yeah, it's like, well, we made promises at the montage, and we said we would put ourselves first at the montage, and we said he would get off his damn phone. He said that at the montage. And so she's like, you said you were going to make an effort, and it lasted 2 days, Sean. 2 days. Okay, this conversation, everybody, is about her going out with her friends all the time. Remember that, okay? It's like fighting with the child. And so she's like, well, I want to be a better version of myself, and I need that from him too. And so he's like, well, I'm sorry that that's your reality. She goes, well, what's yours? And he's like, well, we talked about like having romantic time once a month. She goes, once a week, Sean. And he's like, but then when we are together, you want nothing to do with me.
You know, and then she's like, well, you just come home and you stare at your phone. I'm like, you know what true love is? Is that when you and your loved one can both sit on the couch and look at your own phones together and not feel like something is wrong. Because, it's like the equivalent of like reading newspapers together. You know, to me, that's when people always say, oh, you're in your phone. You know, do you know like what what's like a famously sacred thing is that like when a couple wakes up in the morning and they both have a newspaper and they both are sitting at the table reading a newspaper together. Isn't that like the same thing? You're both like, the point is that you're together, you're doing something, but you're doing it together. I just feel like this has been like, when Bronwyn's saying that Sean's not making an effort and this and that, when he has spent the past 20 years pretty much like cleaning up her mess, is pretty like, it's pretty harsh.
Yeah, she's being pretty harsh, and every time he tries to talk, and he's talking to her in a very, like, therapized way, yes, which is what she requires, so he's talking, like, and she won't let him finish a sentence or anything. It's like, you're never here, Sean. I was like, well, no wonder she knows nothing about him. Like, the man can't finish a sentence, So she's like, well, I mean, I get half of you. Like, you check out. And I don't want to be a little bit miserable. I want to be happy. And I'm starting to think that looks different than what this is. And I go out to be with my friends because they're not on their phones. They're doing stuff with me. I'm like, no, also Sean's working to support a family of 10 or 9, whatever it is, people, and taking care of the kids and doing all this shit while you're going out and having fun. Give me a break. I'm not feeling bad for Bronwyn on this. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I think in this case, I think this was like, I think this is projection. I think she was trying to create some sort of space so that way she won't feel as bad when she ultimately decides to leave him. I think that she's creating something here because I mean, I understand like you don't want someone who's just like always on their phone, but also like it is 2020. People are on their phones. Like it's I feel like it's kind of like a, you know what it is? I was watching on New Year's on Fox. Fox actually had like a really funny New Year's thing with like Joel McHale and Ken, what's his face? Why can't I remember his name? Korean American actor.
I don't know. Don't test Ken, me. Now you know.
You all know Ken Jeong. So, it was like this really funny thing. And then they're like, oh, and now here's something from Tim Allen, because Tim Allen has a show that's on Fox. And so Tim Allen gets on this broadcast and he's like, hey, new year, we can hope for new things. Like, how about people not being in their phones, right? Remember that when people actually talked? I'm like, this is such an old take. Like, this is old. Like, this whole thing, like, oh, you're in your phone. Everyone has a phone now. Everyone is checking their phone. It is, like, the phone shaming thing is so tired and played out. And it's just, like, to me, like, represents this, like, this thing that people, like, hold on to.
So, basically, like, you're telling me that you and Dom are always on your phones.
We are always on our phones, but we feel good about it.
Yeah. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So he's like, well, we'll try and do a much better job of coordinating the time together. And she's like,
actions, not words, Sean.
actions. I was like, shut up, Bronwyn. Seriously. So then we go to Selfie's and Matt's jogging in Orange County. And Elizabeth is with her brother. And they're basically talking about going golfing and how
he's obsessed with golf.
Yeah, he's obsessed. And he's her rock. And she calls him in the middle of the night upset. And he always talks her down from a ledge. And then they start talking. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have the same laugh. Because she's like, ho, ho, ho. He's like, ho, 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 ho. And, hi. Remember those years? Oh, I had a crazy night. I was telling everyone about that cult that we were in. He's like, oh, yeah, the cult where I was almost beaten to death because I was dyslexic. Yeah, that cult. Wow, what a cult. I was like, whoa.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, and I also want to say, so when we started talking about this, you know, it started with the, you know, I was in a church that was really strict and all of that. And I titled that episode, Oh My Heaven's Gate. Well, then the next episode comes out and it's all the story of like molestation and all that shit. And I was like, oh, I am not taking that lightly. So sorry.
Oh, were people upset?
I mean, I just felt bad when I was watching it. I was like, damn, like I ain't making fun of that. Jeez.
So thoughtful, Ronnie.
I felt tricked. Okay, I felt tricked by the show. They were like, here, make fun of it. It's for you to make fun of it. And then the next week they were like, ha ha, it's molestation. Well, it's like, Jesus.
Wait, and I want to talk about that for one moment. The lack of like the what's the right word? Is it not delicacy, but the way Gina asked, because you know, Elizabeth divulges to Bronwyn that she, you know, was sexually abused in this cult and everything. And then they meet up with the rest of the women. And then she then tells the rest of the women, she's like, yeah, I was in a cult and, you know, there was sexual abuse. It was bad. She's sort of like, it's like being elusive. She just doesn't want to really come out and say it. And then Gina goes, well, you molested? I was like, Gina.
Yeah, geez. Oh, and that's also another reason I was kind of annoyed with Bronwyn by the time we got to this episode. Because she's like, Gina, open up to me. Just tell me. And so, Elizabeth, open up to me. Tell me everything. So she does. And she's like, I will never say anything. She's like, never. And then they get around all the other girls. She's like, I am so proud of you, Elizabeth.
I know.
So. I was like, oh my God.
So you were molested, huh?
Gee, oh my God. Yeah, that whole thing. I felt so awkward when I watched it because I was like, okay, I was just making jokes about that.
But I was in my phone, so I missed it all.
Oh, so anyway, so they're talking about this cult experience and how he was beat and how they watched their own grandmother die. He tells us that they watched their aunt die because she had an allergy, but they didn't get her medical help because if she was worthy enough, she would have been saved.
So,
fucked up shit, man.
Fucked up shit. Don't join a cult, people. Please don't join one. So they apparently had a really hard time escaping. And Elizabeth said that every time they tried to escape, they always wound up back in the cult, which I didn't really understand, like, how or why. I'm sure we'll get more details about that. But either way, obviously both siblings carry, like, a lot of guilt and all sorts of emotional baggage from that experience. And Elizabeth thinks that she caused her sister to go down her path of, you know, drugs and crime, because she said that she told her sister what was going on in the church and to try to protect her. And so she feels like by her letting her sister know, she like, I guess maybe ruined her innocence or something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And the brother's like, give me a break. I mean, telling her what happened to you isn't enough trauma to make her turn to a life of crime and drugs, you know? Yeah. And that's, I think, typical of people who have that in their family, you know, where you're just trying to figure out why or what you could have done and stuff.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth is like, well, I just need to protect her and I can't protect her. And it's a really sad scene.
It is sad.
And I wish Elizabeth Vargas wasn't so fucking crazy on Instagram.
She is.
That's another thing with this show. It's like you watch a show and you feel one way, but then you go to Instagram and it's like, oh, God.
She's a real disaster on Instagram. I don't even follow her, but every now and then I see something and I'm like, oh, you play this like I'm the cool chick. I'm just like an easy going girl who lives on the beach. I'm just a cool chick. And then on Instagram, you're like, oh, you were just a nightmare.
Yeah. So then Gina and Emily are at Gina's house. Emily comes over and they start talking about Arrowhead, and Gina's like, oh, by the way, Gina's accent this season is hilarious. It gets crazier and crazier as it goes. Just really puts it on. She's like, well, it was such a shit show. I was like, okay, now, Gina.
So okay. Bronwyn came in hot, okay? And she's talking about Shannon and John. So they're talking about Shannon and John and how Shannon and John are fighting a lot. By the way, the whole Shannon and John thing is like a little perplexing to me. Because we just are hearing that there are fights, and then Shannon has been concerned that they'd be spending time away from each other, and I'm like, what is going on with them? I'm not really sure what's going on because we're not really seeing anything. We're just hearing
Shannon
that there's
stuff.
Shannon
is pure drama. That's what's going on. We saw it in all of her relationship with David. Yeah. And that guy was a real fucking asshole too, by the way. But Shannon's just like totally dramatic at all times. Like last year when they were talking about, Tamara was saying how Shannon just calls her, you know, 5 times a day and she's always crying. And that was during the divorce. But then the year before that, it was, you know, maybe we're going to go through divorce. And the year before that, it was like David does. It's always fucking something with people like that, you know? They never stop calling you and sucking you dry.
I know. I think I feel like you and Shannon would be friends because I feel like Shannon would be calling you up every single day and you'd be like, oh, it's Shannon again.
Yeah, but I'm stopping that. And it's very freeing, but I have to come up with something to do with my time because I realize that that's like kind of a weird codependent thing too. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, call and then just dump all your shit and then I'll sit there and help. You know, it's like, that doesn't help anyone. And I'm sick of hearing the shit.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, Sean's available now. So Bronwyn,
I still have his immunity idol that he gave us, so yeah, I might be somewhere. Calling on that power very soon.
So Bronwyn apparently told Gina that Shannon's John, was drinking to the same degree that Bronwyn used to drink, where he would wake up with the shakes. And now Bronwyn thinks that John has a drinking problem too. And apparently there was some sort of thing that happened where John got so drunk at a golf tournament that his dad had to come fetch him. So we don't really know what any of this is, and we only have one more episode in the season, so I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm intrigued.
Part of me is like, well, of course Bronwyn's saying that, because anyone who's ever had an addiction understands that. You know, we've said it on this show a million times, like, if you have an eating addiction, you lose 1 pound, and then suddenly everyone else is fat and has an eating addiction around you. Or if you're an alcoholic and you stop drinking, everyone's an alcoholic. So part of me is thinking in that frame of mind, but then the other part's like, ooh, this sounds bad.
I have to say, when Shannon and John were making cocktails at Bronwyn's vows, there was a part of me that thought, something about this feels not right. I don't know why. I was like, I started to think to myself, how much do these two actually drink together? Like that they have to have this this private cocktail moment. Like, and I get it. People do it. Like, people have fun. They will have a private cocktail moment. I would not be above doing it.
But yeah, there was something about watching.
But there was something about watching them. There was like a desperation about it. And then they got so wasted doing it. I was like, what's really going on here? I'm not going to lie. I definitely had that thought when I watched them in that scene.
Yeah, I generally just go with the rule, like, everyone's okay unless they say they're not. And then, you know, or if it's just so, so bad that you have to step in and do something, you know.
Right.
But Bronwyn doing it is like, Bronwyn, it's not your place to do that right now, you know. So then Gina's like, well, we've all been getting phone calls regarding John, you know. Like, it sounds like something's bad going on there. And we talk about the shakes and the golf tournament and stuff. And Emily's like, well, I mean, Bronwyn asked how they were. And I said, everything's great. And she said, well, you know, Newport is a small town. And people are talking about his drinking problem and the golf course stuff. And Gina's like, yeah, so Bronwyn, who doesn't talk shit, but now she's talking shit. Okay, stop. Now you're just getting on my nerves with that.
Well, it's funny because they're mad at Bronwyn for gossiping when they're actively gossiping about Bronwyn in the process. I guess the difference is that Bronwyn made the fatal flaw of like taking like a sanctimonious stand in Arrowhead about she doesn't like talking about people behind her backs. Like the moment you do that on a Real Housewives show, you're dead because the entire show structure is about talking about people behind their backs. That's like the entire every time you do an interview, that's literally what you're doing. So you're already screwed. And then you're going to get... They're going to get you on, like, moral grounds you know, when Emily has been the biggest gossip this season, but she's getting away with it because she's just like, whatever, I want to ask questions, you know? She doesn't have any, like, you know, high ground about it.
Yeah, she just admits it. And they're like, you said, she's like, yeah, that's what I said. And I also said that they forgot to tell you this part that I also said. So Gina's like, well, that shit makes me so confused about her because, like, I mean, especially being a self-admitted alcoholic herself. Like, wouldn't that trigger her to check on a friend? I mean, did she even sound concerned? And Emily's like, no, if she was concerned, she would have called her.
Yeah. So then we go over to Kelly with her daughter, Jolie, and they're finding a spot to park at the beach. And look at this asshole, look at it. And Jolie just reaches over and honks the horn. So we're seeing young Kelly emerge from Jolie now.
Yeah, Jolie's like,
don't honk like at people. I don't want to get in fights. Don't honk.
You don't honk at people. You do this. You're fat. You're stupid.
You're stupid. Your hair's stupid, stupid person on the street.
So they go sit on the beach together. And Kelly's like, is it so bad being with me? She's like, yes, it's like prison. You're so strict.
Yeah. And
but I just want you to succeed. She's like, I do everything. I do all the chores. I don't even get money to do chores.
We also, by the way, we also get a thematic through line here of Kelly's getting mad at Jolie for being on the phone all the time, and then we see a montage of Kelly being on the phone all the time. So which is also reminiscent of Lisa Barlow being on the phone last week on Salt Lake City and her husband getting mad, and then she's saying, I could do anything. I could sing Britney Spears while I text right now. I love that.
Wait a minute, what did you say? Oh my God, I love that.
Wait, what did you say? That's great. I love that. Okay. Oops, I did it. Hit me baby one more. Isn't she lucky?
Ooh, yeah, I'm out. What cracked me up about that episode, that episode was really funny, by the way, but when she's like, you know, I mean, listen, I don't think it's so bad to think about work all the time. I mean, I work, okay? I work. I love that. And her husband's like, yeah, but I mean, you know, we do have kids and we should really spend time with kids. She's like, are you saying that you want the kids to be involved in our business? Because I love that.
I love that. Make them work.
That was so funny. She just won't let it go. She's like, yes, family business.
Yeah. So Jolie is like complaining about like you're really strict for no reason. Like, I do all the chores and I get no money from doing chores and I'm getting straight A's and you're beyond strict. And it's just, you want some dragon fruit? Want some dragon fruit?
And Kelly tells us, I grew up with a strict family. And then we cut to her mom going, you know how they toss a salad, Jolie? Toss it. You're going to toss it?
Toss it.
All right, and toss it.
And then
Jolie, I was like, ooh, that strict family. Making sure the kid knows how to toss a salad.
And Jolie's like, I try so hard, and like, you're still just as hard on me. And she's like, look, you're succeeding! You're succeeding!
Look at you, you're succeeding at the dishes. Good job!
It's so funny. I never would have pegged Kelly to be the one who is like got her kid on the straight and narrow. It's so funny to me.
Yeah. And so then they start talking about Rick. And Jolie's like, yeah, I mean, he makes you way more normal. Like, my life was a train wreck. I couldn't understand school. Like, I felt like I was in a really bad place. And now I'm like happier. And we're in a big house. And I get to hang out with my friends. Yeah, he's a really good influence. And he has a really big dick.
Oh, yeah, Rick is like a mediator, so I can say things like I could be like, my mom is really annoying me because I'm doing the best that I can, and she doesn't seem to understand. And then Rick will turn to my mom and go, okay, I get it.
That's good advice. Let's cry right now.
Yeah, tell her, your mother says that she's very proud of you.
Good job, you're succeeding.
What a good mediator.
So then we go over to Shannon and John. So
wait, can I just say one last thing? Jolie, I mean, we love Jolie, and I love when she goes, you know, going through all this stuff in life has given me a lot of wisdom. I was like, there you go, Jolie, your 13-year-old wisdom.
Yeah. So then we go to Shannon and John, and they're seeing each other for the first time in like 3 weeks or something. And he's sitting on his back porch with a drink. And of course, you know, now that Bronwyn said that, I'm like, uh-oh, he's drinking.
No. Me too.
And so John greets her, and she's really awkward.
Because I haven't seen John in 3 weeks, and we've never had this much time apart, and I'm going to show you apart by making my hands into a book that's open. Never had much time opening. Apart.
And you know what? Let me do some cursive in the air, and I've done the cursive, and now let's go back to the front and backward hand motion, stop sign, and around the world.
I'm doing the monkey. I'm doing the monkey.
I'm going down an escalator.
So he's like, I want a drink. You want a drink? And she's like, oh, well, a drink on Saturday, John. He's like, oh, come on, it's Saturday. And I guess that Shannon has caught wind by now that everyone's talking about her being an alcoholic, because this whole scene is about Shannon trying to be like, oh, well, maybe I drink sometimes, but I don't mean to get so angry. I cannot have a vodka soda. Okay, maybe watered down. Maybe a Zima.
Can I have a White Claw? White Claw, and let's put a shot of vodka in that. Okay, great. And some tequila. Great.
So, yeah, she does. She has been having sleep issues, and
I have been in the pandemic. I was so overrun by fear. I just drank a lot, and I'm not proud of a lot of things. I took a lot of things out in John. So, just as a reminder, I came from a place of fear in the pandemic and the pandemic only, not the entire rest of my life as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so she says, I took things out on you, I'm embarrassed. And he's like, well, you know, it's hard. I mean, we probably both took things out on each other.
Yeah, but I took my fear and aggression out on you. I mean, my fear of toxic bed frames. That was very scary for me. And, you know, remember when I told you to get the fuck out? Remember that, John?
Oh, remember when you came home with a bed skirt from Laura Ashley, and I was like, who made this fucking bed skirt? I got all my own bespoke ones, and you'd make this one. I was a place of fear. I was afraid the bed skirt would strangle me in the middle of the night. That's all.
I was trying to strangle you with a toxic bed sheet, and for that I apologize. It was COVID alcoholism.
You know, in my marriage, I was very reactive, and then we see greatest hits. Like, wait, way to make me look like more of a bitch, David.
I love the Shannon clips, and they just put all the Shannon being crazy clips together.
Oh, God, they're so good.
So he's like, good. Why are you saying this all of a sudden? She's like, I don't know. What do you think, John? And he's like, well, you know, it's hard when it's COVID and we're all stuck together and we don't have our own space. I mean, that's hard. She's like, well, but before, and by saying, I'm going to rub my hands over each other, but not touch them in circles. And now, before, you said that you wanted to be with me. Now I'm making, my palms are coming together in the middle of my chest, like an airplane flying into the middle of my chest. And all the time. And now you say that people, I'm going to make walking symbols with my fingers, need hands apart space. Is that what you're saying now, John?
Let me rephrase that. When I said I wanted to be with you all the time, that was before the pandemic. And now that there is a pandemic, I'm saying I want my space, but I also want to be with you. So what I'm proposing is we go to an auditorium and sit on opposite corners, and we're technically in the same room, but we're in clearly different spaces.
It sounds like he's just trying to yes whatever she says, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I yelled at you. Well, it is hard being together.
Oh, now it's hard being together?
No.
He's just going to say something until he gets the right combination on the padlock.
He's like, oh, he did it.
Yeah. That's he doesn't want answer. You to yell at him again. So Shannon's like, well, you know, we have not stayed together since testing.
And he's like, yeah, I've got some pent-up effect.
Rick Leventhal, get out of here!
I'm giving him some advice.
So she tells us that she's learned that John is committed because even though they have problems others would run from.
Like me!
Like coronavirus? He's here and running. Jeez, she has a really low bar. What did David do to her?
You gonna make me breakfast? Should I make breakfast? We should both make breakfast, because I'm gonna set the tone to fit into my pants.
Yeah. So, Elizabeth just texted me, and get this, Travis, she was, like, part of this cult where they were, like, molesting the children and stuff, and, like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, that's, like, wow, that's, like, heavy. Like, do I ask questions? Do I not ask questions? Like, what do I do with it? I'm like, how about you just
don't do anything until she comes to you with more. I think it's a pretty easy call on that one.
Travis's reaction is so funny. He's so bored. He's like so visually bored, you know? And he's like, no way.
He's like, yeah, like, what do I do? It's so heavy, you know? And then, you know, I feel bad for Luca starting kindergarten. Like, it's not fair. And I'm trying, like, to negotiate a situation with Matt. And then he makes me feel bad. Like, oh, I'm supposed to feel bad. That's annoying. Like, the other day at the pool, he starts introducing me to the neighbors. And I'm like, oh, they were my neighbors. Like, I'm like, I didn't know the neighbors. And, like, he has no shame in this. Like, don't walk around like the mayor of the social club, okay? Tuck your tail between your legs, all right?
I mean, who do you think gathered when I put out my gather sign? It was the neighbors, okay? I knew them all, okay? It just is weird, okay? And, like, I don't know, like, people probably think that, like, I'm crazy because he's going around saying, like, oh, it was just a bad 10 minutes. No, I'll tell you what a bad 10 minutes was. My hair from last season, okay? No, you're minimizing my truth, okay? Wow, that was a great breakfast. It's like, you took one bite. Well, I don't eat much because I don't stop talking, you know?
He tells her, I'm glad you take breaths. So then we get some new weird song, or it's new to me anyway.
It was awful. And it certainly is no yeah, which they haven't played in 2 weeks.
No, it's not, but wait until you get to the Real Housewives of Dallas music, because you haven't watched it yet. And now they've got, I guess they've got this new way of looking at the show. It's like all positive now. It's just going to be like this super fun, girly, fun show. And then all the music is new. It's like,
it's a sunny day.
Oh, God.
And the sun is shining because it's sunny outside.
What is this?
Selling Sunset better come back, because they've really raised the bar on some tricksy monocle anthems about, like, empty proclamations of, like, badass bitchery. Like,
I
run this town. I run this town. This is my town, so you better not run on it. And it's just like them getting coffee.
I'm a hot, hot girl, and I turn down the AC. That's right, I turn down the AC.
It's like, what is this song, Real Housewives of? It's like Deandra driving her Lexus. The fuck is this?
So, bad news. We can't go to Disneyland because coronavirus closed it all down. Unbelievable, hypocritical, undeniable coronavirus.
And her brother's like, well, I guess we have to fly to Florida. Which is really funny, because of course you can. So then Emily comes over, and Emily's like, you know, I didn't eat anything all day because I knew you'd have food.
Hi, I'm Emily. So then they sit down outside, and she's like, do you ever get tired of all the foot traffic behind you? Emily, we call it the sounds of summer, Emily. That's what we call it. And that sound is undeniable, unhypocritical, unrequietable, noise-logical.
So Emily's like, well, I feel bad for Bronwyn. It's like, well, she investigated me. So, you know, I mean, I don't care that she investigated me. Investigate on, murder, she wrote. I mean, it's fun, but it was rude. She goes, yeah, you don't mind about it? She goes, well, I know I'm weird, but just ask me about it. You got a question? Ask me. You got something to say to me? Say it. And Emily goes, okay, why are you weird?
I was raised in a cult.
So, yeah, she starts telling her about that, and she's like, yeah, I had a lot of childhood trauma. Like, I was abused in a church. And Emily's like, are you talking sexual abuse? And then Elizabeth starts crying, and Emily's like, well, thank you for trusting me enough to tell me something that personal. I mean, of course I already do. I was just at Gina's house.
Yeah, but I already knew that. Thank you for telling me.
And, you know, Emily's like, my heart breaks for her because as a child, you know, you don't even know that there's anything wrong with what all these adults are doing. And it's not till you're an adult that you really have to start dealing with the psychological ramifications of it and stuff. And Elizabeth is saying, well, you know, the trip was really uncomfortable, but it needed to happen. And I'm actually really grateful those girls were there when it did happen. But I'm still confused with Bronwyn. She's like, I texted her and she was just non-responsive. I mean, I FaceTimed her even, and she's just acting like, oh, I just want to get off this FaceTime. Like, don't act like you want to get to know me, and then act like you don't want to get to know me.
Yeah. And Emily's like, well, I think that she's in a very selfish place right now. And Elizabeth basically says that, like, oh, well, she blames everything on everyone else. And that's like
alcoholism is hereditary. Her kids, you know, she's got her kids, so she doesn't have a life. She blames her mom for everything else. I mean, it's a pattern. And she's like, but I'm not going to investigate the woman moving, you know, I'm not going to investigate her or anything, you know.
And then she says that, like, her divorce is final. So Emily's like, okay, so are you and Jimmy having sex? Now she's are you still here? Still listening?
So she's finally like, yep, I'm doing Jimmy now.
Which I don't believe.
I don't either, but Jimmy's laughing inside because he's on his computer and hearing them. So then we go over to Bronwyn's house. Now, here's this part in the show where Bronwyn's just going to try and recast the whole thing. She's like,
yeah,
fuck these ladies. I hate all of them. I'm going to bring all of my friends onto this show. Now, ma'am, no, that is not going to happen, okay? And what Elizabeth was saying earlier about her, you know, not being interested on FaceTime, yeah, because it's like drama for camera, you know? It's like the second you have drama, she's there like, tell me about it. Breathe. Tell me the drama. And then there's no cameras there. And suddenly she's like, why are you fucking calling me on FaceTime, crazy lady?
Right. So so Bronwyn's with Sherry in her kitchen. And Bronwyn's basically like, she loves Sherry because Sherry is like, she has her, she like supports herself and everything. And Bronwyn's like, you know, I want to stand on my own 2 feet and just, I want to be just like Sherry. I want to be like Sherry. So she's like putting Sherry on this like pedestal right now, which I think is going to lead to disappointment down the line for her. And they start talking about how they're looking at a photo from her 6 month sobriety party that they had. And Sean had apparently gotten her a cake, and it was a red velvet cake. And Bronwyn...
Well, hold on. Now, Sherry's a dick, okay? Sherry's like an underminer. She comes in here and immediately starts talking shit about the husband. She's like... Because Bronwyn said, this is the first time I've tried to make things pretty since the pandemic. Well, except for that party. And Sherry's like, oh, yeah, that party. I mean, your red velvet cake, that made the whole thing. I mean, I know that your favorite cake is a celebration cake from Sexy Cake. And Sean was Susie like, cakes. Oh, her favorite cake is red velvet.
Right. And Bronwyn's like, I hate red velvet cake, which is crazy to me. But like, regardless, although it is, to be fair, after 20 years, Sean should know what cakes she hates. I mean, that is also fair. But there, this like red velvet cake was clearly the straw that broke the camel's back.
But how much cake does Bronwyn fucking eat? I mean, seriously, you think anybody, how would you know that Bronwyn's favorite cake is? I mean.
Well, I think you would know what cake she doesn't like.
Right? I guess.
I would think. I don't know.
I'm Team Sean. Kidnap Sean. Get him out of there.
I am Team Sean. Well, I think that this cake situation was being like held to wait. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Dom got me a cake, like if Dom got me like a strawberry shortcake to celebrate me, I wouldn't be mad, but I'd be kind of like, why would you do that? Like, I hate strawberries, you know? Like, I'd be like, why did you do that? You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. But Sherry is like, Sean, I didn't get you that cake, remember? And she's like, yeah, well, I hate that cake. I just took a bite of it to be polite. And Sherry's like, well, I'll never let him order the cake again. And Bronwyn tells us, Sherry gets me. I mean, she's not like Sean. He's always trying to fix or to help. I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then stop being broken. Stop fucking being broken then. Okay? Because that's what your husband is trying to do.
Well, I mean, the thing is this. He has, like, no purpose now. I think he's probably, like, he's spent 20 years. His purpose was to, like, enable her. And now he is pretty much unmoored and buying, you know, erroneous cakes. Wasting red velvet on someone who doesn't like it. I mean, hello. Perfect. Send it up here to Hollywood. Red velvet cake. This is a red velvet cake friendly household over here, Sean. So please send all the cakes up here. So then Noella comes over. And this is Bronwyn's other friend who's also pretty thirsty for the camera. And so they're there just having a girl's time. And Bronwyn's seeing how they had a big fight. And then Sean texted saying, I left. And she was like, cool. And she was like happy that Sean had left the house.
Yeah. And she's like, being sober changed me. I mean, I think he's looking at the idea of a perfect couple with 7 kids, but I can't go back there. Well, you are kids. Still...
So you better go back.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Shipping on a touring version of Annie? I mean, you got to figure it out.
Well, you know what's going to be really fun is when she finally realizes that her saying these things like, I need to do me, is probably a direct parallel of like what her mother mom went through.
Exactly. She's so being her mother, and that's making me fucking crazy.
That's going to be a real fun realization for her when she realizes like everything she complained about her mother, how her mother was like in a band and all this, and her mom was doing it for her.
And her mom was always gone. She was always traveling. She was always out of the house. And her mom's like, well, I had to live my life too. It was like, I had to have my self-discovery too. And that's exactly what Bronwyn said.
That's going to be a real doozy when Bronwyn figures that one out. Next season.
Yeah. So Bronwyn's like, well, I've worked the steps and I'm very clear about my boundaries. And so Noelle's like, yeah, well, now, you know, you're finding people that love you unconditionally and can help guide you.
And want to be on TV. And then Bronwyn's like, yeah, I mean, I got on my knees. And I don't know why she said this, but she said she got on her knees and prayed. And Noelle goes, I get on my knees. Sometimes I say, oh, God, I'm Samantha.
Yeah, I just wrote terrible audition at the end. I know. Like, you're all fucking fired. Get out.
You're all fired.
Get off this show. So Shannon's house. Shannon's helping Sophie pack, and there's stuff all over the couch, and they're getting stuff in the suitcases. And she's like, Sophie, I will let you take my Prada jacket. It's $1,500.
She's like, thanks, Mom. Yeah, she's like, Mom, this is like not my style. And Sophie's like really excited. Speaking of cults, she's really excited to go to Waco, to Baylor. Because she just feels like Orange County is superficial and she's like excited to leave and this is just going to be better for her well-being. So.
Yeah. And Shannon looks all sad. She's like, oh, well, I guess I'm superficial now. Sophie. Oh, thanks. Can't wait to watch your life from the sidelines.
Well, just remember that when you have a tiff with someone, that's not when you want to take that step and talk bad about her to other people. And I'm assuming it's a her because, maybe she might look like Bronwyn, maybe? And just the way Bronwyn talks about me, you don't want to do that. You do not want to do that.
Do not talk bad about people, Sophie.
And then it cuts to a clip package of Shannon just being like, you know what, I look in her eyes and I see evil. Cut to Shannon. She's a killer! Cut to Shannon. That woman is full of shit!
So they're talking about how hard it's going to be, you know, when Sophie moves out, and it's just going to be hard. I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, like she won't be in this household. And is that a bug? Is that a bug? Ah! Ah!
It's toxic!
So then later, Shannon is home, and Kelly shows up, dressed for the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion.
Yes.
Exact same color. And she comes in, and they start talking about how the kids are growing up, etc. Mm-hmm. And should we drink? And Shannon's like,
I have tequila. No.
Just let's just drink light. I have to cut my tequila with a little bit of soda on account of me not having a problem.
So Kelly sees a check on her table.
Just
and
out
it's the
there.
Just sitting out.
For $1.7 million, or whatever it was. Just a check out there on... with cameras, everything.
Yeah, and Shannon's like, well, it was the final payment. I got $1.4 million. And that's it, Kelly. That is it.
You know, I'm not, it's nice, but I'm not cashing out for life with it. I have to do it on my own now.
With your trust.
Yeah.
I have to do it. God bless David Bedore and continued success for him and the new lady.
Whatever her name is. So then they go outside, and Archie is just standing in the hot tub. It's so funny, just standing in it. Just like his one place for peace. And yeah. Shannon is telling Kelly how hard COVID was for her and John. And,
you know, I was very fear-driven. But you know what? Like, and we would fight every single night because we're so fear-driven.
And Kelly is like... well, you know, Shannon, she just goes off on people when she gets drunk. I mean, I've been her punching bag for years. So then we got another montage.
But then they showed the one where Kelly's like, well, maybe you shouldn't eat so much. And she says, that's not my plate, you fucking bitch. Why are they making it look like Shannon was going off for no reason and Kelly was just being a punching bag?
Either way, it was just, it's always so great to relive Shannon's greatest hits.
It really is. It's like our version of the Now CDs.
Yeah, now that's what I call Shannon Bedore.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, I have to tell you that we all talked about you in Arrowhead. You know, I haven't seen anything about you in What's-His-Face. Like, all I've seen is Rick's big dick because it's, like, always in my face. But, you know, like, Gina said, and she's like, oh, well, that's so crazy because at the beginning of COVID, John went home and I talked to Gina hysterical, thinking I would never see him again. And then she never called me again. So here it is 3 months later, saying she's so concerned about me. If you were so concerned about me, finger in the air, how about you pick up the phone and phone me one time? How about that?
So once again, the phone, this is the ongoing theme of the episode. Like, you're either in the phone too much or you didn't use the phone enough. This keeps coming up. Why don't you just pick up the phone and call her? Why don't you pick up the phone and call her?
You're on the phone too much.
You're on the phone too much.
Get off your phone, Sean.
So now Shannon is mad that Gina was making judgments about her situation with John in quarantine. And she's like, I have gone out of my way to be kind to Gina. And saying, and then saying that behind my back, what are you trying to do? What are you, you know what that's like? That is like when you order an organic headboard from Wayfair and you get a bar stool instead. How what?
Well, I would suggest that she take a walk from the kitchen to the living room to get some stress out, but I know she has a tiny little sad home and she couldn't do that. So
I would never say that, me. I would never say that. So Kelly's like, well, guess what? Bronwyn and Sean are on the brink of divorce. Yeah. And I heard she's really close with a woman. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, it's like Bronwyn, she says one thing and then does another. Yeah. She's like hypocrisy at its finest. Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you say who Sherry is? Is she your pretend lesbian lover?
Yeah, everything she does is contrived.
Yeah, that's confusing because I didn't understand if Sherry was a girlfriend or not because I thought she was for some reason, but I don't know. It's confusing to figure out. And then we see next time on the finale.
Yeah, next week is the season finale. I think a perfect length of a season for Orange County. I if it had gone on for literally one more episode, it would have been a problem. But I think this is wrapping up at the right time. I think they clearly were, you know, undermined by this, as were many other things, by the coronavirus. But I think they really struggled to keep the storylines going after they had to go into quarantine. So
yeah, I mean, I've had a pretty good time watching it. So I don't know. I'm never really a good one to judge the season.
I thought the first half was good, but then I think it sort of is like falling apart since they had to do quarantine. I mean, and understandable. I mean, that's hard. I mean, that's talk about a challenge for a season, you know, for many different things. But next week is the finale, so we have that. And looking forward to it. And then on our next episode, we got Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and then Southern Charm. And once again, go check out the Crappies. Go vote because it's fun. And hopefully we'll see you on the live show.
Yeah, you should be able to find the links and everything at watchwhatcrappens.com, everybody. We sure love you guys.
Have a great, great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.